Can you remember how you learned about periods and menstruation? I had 70s parents, so we had Where Did I Come From and What's Happening to Me? So I got really confused when I saw ads for period products in print and on the TV. That does not look like my experience. Dr. Jane Connery says we have come a long way when it comes to advertising menstrual products. She's a lecturer in communication design at Swinburne University of Technology, and she looked back over the last 100 years of it. Jane, welcome to Life Matters.
Hi, Hilary. Thanks for having me.
What made you decide to look into pad ads? What were you trying to find out?
Well, I also had a similar experience to you with 70s parents. It's quite hilarious that the most scary thing was that the picture of the parents in When Did I Come From looked like my mum and dad. So that was frightening.
Yeah, the beard.
But I had an experience where it wasn't getting your period wasn't talked openly about. And with a career of 20 plus years as a graphic designer and also working in advertising, I was interested to see sort of the harmful norms and the perpetuation of stereotypes that graphic designers had the power to perpetuate or diminish. And looking back, it was also an inquiry into the empathy that designers can have for their audience as well. Empathy is a huge sort of buzzword in design processes and design thinking across all disciplines at the moment, especially in academia and industry. And so I was interested in finding some case studies in visual communication and graphic design to show whether empathy had actually been used or not. And period product ads really became a good example of where empathy has not really been used very well in designs.
Well, do we know how many women were working in advertising, even, you know, just specifically for the feminine hygiene products back then?
Well, you know, again, going back 100 years, of course, there weren't very many at all. And the advertising industry is still very gender inequitable. Women in creative positions and women in senior positions are still very low. Even sort of platforms like award platforms and Hall of Fame platforms where they celebrate kind of the sole geniuses in the ad world, a lot of them focus on men. But I did look at the latest sort of Australian award platform for advertising just recently, a couple of days ago, and the awards, they're called, and their jury, I was counting just to see how many girls and boys there were. And it's equal this year, which is very exciting. So
it is exciting.
It is moving forward, but slowly. But, yeah, that really, I'm sure, has had an impact on the empathy displayed in these advertisements.
We're speaking with Dr. Jane Connery from Swinburne University of Technology, who did a bit of a survey back through the ages. Jane, let's look at the 20s. What kind of products were women using then, and how were they described?
Well, the products were very new to market. The first patents for tampons and pads came out in the early 1900s. They came from America, from Johnson & Johnson mainly. But women prior to that were just using homemade pads, rags, bandages, etc., that they'd dispose of and wash off. But period product advertising, Modess was a huge brand, Kotex around that time. But the focus visually of the images and the text was that periods were a medical issue that had to sort of be treated or solved, which, you know, becomes one of those tones of shame and secrecy. If I've got this thing that's wrong with me, I don't want to burden everyone else with it. I have to quickly buy these products and treat this problem. So The attitude in the early ads in the 1920s was very much one of this medical issue, periods as a medical issue.
Yes, and the vagueness is just next level. Nature's handicap was one way that periods were described. What were some of the other terms?
Nature's handicap. I'm just going through. You would need surgical appliances as a pad. That's sort of the words they use to describe these, or dainty wares, protective dainty necessities. A lot of pads were held up with belts at the time, so the sort of sticky pull back, stick it to your underwear technology had not been invented, and so a lot of these panties that held them in or belts were made of rubber, and so you would see rubber manufacturers advertising the things that went along with pads, the necessities, the accessories that you needed to wear them were often, advertised by rubber manufacturers, which is bizarre.
Yes, they look a bit like trusses. Very, very strange.
Yeah. But the 20s, magazines were quite rare too. The magazines that I looked at in that time was the Australian Women's Mirror, which was the offshoot of the Bulletin. And that went for a few decades, and then the Australian Women's Weekly began to be published and published period ads as well. But as we hit the 40s, it was interesting to see that a lot of these ads were saying that you couldn't buy the products because all the raw materials were going to create bandages and medical necessities for the men fighting the war. So women's well-being and health and comfort was put secondary to that, to the war effort. So that was interesting that ads at that time really just focused on an apology. You have to sit and wait till you get these products again. So the 40s was an interesting time in this era as well.
Indeed. Margaret's in Newcastle. Margaret, tell us what you noticed.
Okay, well, it was an embarrassing situation to be in. The only place you could buy supplies for your period were the pharmacy, and you did it very, very furtively because it was embarrassing. It was the old gauze pads and the belt, and I think I got my first period in early 1960, and it was a bit of a surprise. I'd been given a brochure to read, and that was it. I didn't know what to expect, certainly not what happened.
A lot of the ads too had offered brochures to mums to help them tell their daughters at that time as well how to use the products and what it was all about. But it's no surprise that you were embarrassed. The shame and secrecy was often portrayed in these ads too. It was something almost encouraged that you needed to be embarrassed, which is horrible.
I know. Well, Margaret, did anyone give you any good advice eventually?
No, not really, except that periods were supposed to be natural and therefore any pain was psychological.
Oh, right, yeah.
I had a friend who had that thrown at her.
I cannot wait till they develop a technology that allows you to feel the sensations in someone else's body, and I will let someone experience that once a month. Margaret, thanks so much for calling in.
Bye.
Yeah, it's just about anyone who's menstruated could tell you about the horrible sense of shame. But Jane, it's really interesting, isn't it, that juggling act that advertisers were doing. It's a medical problem. Here's this thing that's antiseptic and, you know, about something that clearly you can't help, but you should also be ashamed of it.
Yes. The sort of dichotomy, this opposite messaging is quite common right through the 100 years of ads, right up to the brand names. One of the brand names is Whisper. You keep it a secret even when you talk about it. Keep it down low. Whereas brands that we're probably aware of today, like Carefree and Stay Free, have this irony of, nothing about your period should hold you back. If you wear our product, you are stay free, you are carefree. But we certainly know that the issues surrounding periods often do hold you back, and especially in areas of low socioeconomic areas, being able to afford period products can be quite embarrassing when you can't and you have to sort of resort to other methods to look after yourself. But yeah, that dichotomy of messaging is quite common right through the 100 years of ads.
And the colours seem to have stayed true as well. Tell us a little bit about what those colours signify.
Of course, in the early ads, it's all black and white printing. So the technology of print and magazines really held back what colours we saw. But quite early on, even in the black and white ads, they would talk about blue elements of the designs. And of course, blue is a fresh, clean colour that we associate in our Western culture. And it's kind of as further away from red and the reality of blood that you could possibly imagine. And so that idea of blue was perpetuated right through the ads to today. And we see, instead of blood and the absorbency of these products, we see blue ink, we see blue arrows in scientific diagrams. Blue and white as purity as women should be, as these metaphors for, women and for cleanliness, right through all the advertising.
Yeah, you can just see them spinning a colour wheel, can't you? Orange? Nah. Pink? Nah. Purple? Nah. Blue? Great. We're speaking with Dr. Jane Connery, lecturer in communication design at Swinburne University of Technology. She took a scroll through 100 years of period ads and just found some fascinating things. They permit immaculacy was one of my favourite quotes. Maria's called in from Victoria. Now, Maria, it was a bit thin on the ground for you, I understand, seeing ads for you.
Yes, but now that you say it, I do remember seeing the blue, and I used to be so confused as a young kid thinking, what the hell is blue got to do with a period? But yes, it was really thin on the ground in the early 80s when I got my period in primary school. I don't recall seeing much of any ads, and definitely nothing for tampons. It was almost like everything was about these humongous pads that looked like surfboards.
Yep.
Surfboards, that's the word for it.
Yes. I know, no wonder they had surfing going on in the background. It's quite a strong line through there. But Maria, I understand it changed a little bit for you as the 80s went on.
Yeah, mid to late 80s, I remember Dolly magazine. That was sort of our point of reference. But I think the ads were always very glamorous and nothing to do with either blood or pain or, bloating or anything. It was always these beautiful girls in the sun looking fabulous. And I think the aim was, you can have your period and nobody will know. That was like the message. But I used to think, how will nobody know if these pads are humongous? Surely everybody must see them through your jeans.
Yep, the painted on jeans of the 80s. Yeah, that was really interesting, wasn't it? There's never a picture of anyone lying down on a couch looking sad. Jane Connery, what about that idea that, these ads were appearing in Dolly magazine? I remember these too. They just looked really glamorous and fashionable, and they had very young girls in them, and they started to look like fashion ads.
They did. I mean, Dolly was a saviour in one way. You have to remember Dolly Doctor, right? A lot of us got our sex education in the 80s from Dolly Doctor. So the context of the Dolly magazine is quite interesting. But, yeah, the ads, not only were these young women glamorous, they were glamorous in white clothes. They were in white bikinis. They were riding their white bikes. They were white pants, strutting around in corporate white suits. This whole euphemism or metaphor for white as pure women, but white as in, nothing's happening. Of course, no one's going to notice you're wearing these products. But the reality was so, so different. So again, the dichotomy of messaging between what you would see and get as an education from these ads and the realities of experiences as you fumbled your way through was so, so opposite, very opposite. In fact, the blue and the white, by 2019, only a few years ago, Libra tried to show blood and red in a campaign called Blood Normal Campaign, trying to get rid of the stigma. And hundreds and hundreds of complaints were sort of logged with advertising standards that no one wanted to see that blood, that blood was shameful. But in the end, it was overturned because of Libra's campaign to sort of reverse this shame and stigma that was seen as the right messaging and the correct messaging. So it's still a problem, the blue and the white and the glamour, that trying to change those tropes and those metaphors is a tough gig.
Yes, though I understand you did find an image of a menstrual cup and the woman is wearing dark red nail polish, and that's as close as it gets to actual kind of blood appearing in this picture. Really fascinating stuff. Dr. Jane Connery, let's quickly touch on how men are represented in these ads, because I do remember one where a guy is sticking pads all over him like cosplay armour. doesn't come out well for men, does it?
Yeah, I think that was in the 90s. I can't quite find the reference to that, but I remember it well. And the other idea was that he found a tampon and used it to play with a kitty, thought it was a cat toy. But yeah, men are shown as ignorant of what period products do and what periods are, again, right through the 100 years, right through to that campaign. If a woman's with a man, she's early on shown as very glamorous and, again, denying that anything's happening to her. If a woman's pictured with a man in a workplace, again, the ignorance is shown. And at school, the same. If a woman was pictured next to a boy in a school situation, then, the secrecy and the shame was just embedded in the text as well as the way the image was art directed. But it's interesting, the Victorian Women's Trust did a lot of research on and found that women do want to talk about these things with men, with their partners, with their dads, with their brothers. They do want to talk to their work colleagues and their schoolmates, and know that having that openness about the topic can only be helpful, that it shouldn't be embarrassing, that having boyfriends, have a packet of pads in their car's glove box for you if you happen to need them should just be the norm,
Yep, or being willing to bring them home from the supermarket, for example.
Yeah, basic knowing things. Which size, which brand they got to get for you.
Yeah. We've got another call that we might come to just before we wrap up with Dr. Jane Connery. Kim's in Lismore. Kim, tell us what you remember.
Yeah, I'm in my 60s and I remember when I was growing up in the early 60s, the only ads for periods would just be a picture of a woman in an evening gown looking very glamorous, and the word Modest would be written on the end. And I had no idea what they were advertising. I remember as a child asking my mother, what are these ads for? And she says that, oh, they're just women who like dressing up. I mean, it was such strange advertising. You'd think I'd be their target audience, and yet the advertising was so subtle. I was sort of started having my periods before I knew what they were actually advertising.
And did you immediately put on an evening gown, Kim?
I've never worn an evening gown, so it was all lost on me. But and also they never advertised how you actually used the pads. And it was always very quiet and you never really discussed. So first you use the belt, which were very uncomfortable and took some practice to use properly. And then a sort of pair of pants came in that you attached the sanitary napkin to. Sanitary napkin, there you go, that's the word I used. to, with sort of plastic straps, and they were a real break forward. And then it was well into the 90s before the ones that you were so easy that you attached to your pants.
Yes, and it's fascinating to see too, Dr. Jane Connery, that we seem to have come full circle and undies that were being manufactured in the 20s with an absorbent insert or padding, they're now in the supermarkets and everyone's saying, this is revolutionary, it's fantastic. Have we made progress?
We have. I mean, menstrual cups have been around for quite a long time too, and they've sort of a huge resurgence. And I think the tone of a lot of the advertising campaigns is sustainability now. Climate change is a huge global issue, and throwing out pads a few times a day or flushing tampons is not good for the environment. So, yeah, the resurgence of menstrual cups and the period pants, the brands that sort of promote those really have this sustainable tone to their advertising, which is fantastic. And I think young people particularly will get that messaging.
Yes, indeed. And it's great to hear that we're making some progress, though still we're not really seeing much blood splashed around the period ads. What a fascinating look at the history of advertising of period products. Dr. Jane Connery, thanks so much for coming on to Life Matters today.
Thanks for having me, Hilary. It's been great.
Yeah. Jane's a lecturer in communication design at Swinburne University of Technology. This is Radio National.